This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Her father took sick and died. Within 1 hour of his death, the daughter, who was the wife of the missionary, suddenly went insane, I guess you could call it. She went into a towering rage, then went to the church building and took a five-gallon can of gasoline, poured it throughout the church building, set it on fire, and burnt the church to the ground.
On today's program, we will hear
the late
Rebecca Brown relate specific cases of demonization after a relative dies. Now, Dr. Brown, this is her sixth program, and she's been teaching and sharing what she has learned, getting people set free from the occults, all types of bondage, Satanism, the effects of witchcraft and demons. Now, she's been doing this for over 31 years, and she's authored many, many books. Her first book, He Came to Set the Captives Free. Here she is, Dr. Rebecca Brown. Hi, Doctor.
Hi, Jim. Good to be with you again.
We were talking about the last program, Deliverance, and I'd like to know some of these stories. We're interested, maybe because we want to identify somebody we know. I want to put it back like into the physical world, what we experience, burns, pains, fear, dreams, okay?
Okay. We will do that. Shall I start with the example of the
Indian story? Remember the Indian? Remember
the
Yeah. Okay, there's a couple of ministers on an Indian reservation. Is that it?
Yes. Here's what happened.
Okay.
There was a young man who became a Christian missionary in one of the larger Indian tribes in the Dakotas. And he went onto tribal land, and he was bringing people to Jesus Christ and eventually ended up building a church. Well, it turned out that within that particular reservation that he was on, that the head shaman or witch doctor for that whole Indian tribe also lived there locally where this young man went. That Indian had 11 children, the oldest being a daughter. And she accepted Christ, and she and the pastor fell in love and ended up getting married. And they had the church, and everything went along just fine for 5 years. Then her father took sick and died. Within 1 hour of his death, the daughter, who was the wife of the missionary, suddenly went insane, I guess you could call it. She went into a towering rage. She beat up her husband so badly that several bones were broken, and he ended up in the hospital. She smashed up everything in their home, then went to the church building and took a five-gallon can of gasoline, poured it throughout the church building, set it on fire, burnt the church to the ground.
Burned it down?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
and so needless to say, the people who had funded the church and sent the missionaries to the Indian tribe were not pleased. So they kicked the missionary and his wife out of the denomination and off the reservation. And so they traveled to a different state and ended up attending a small church there. And the very first day that they were in the church, now by this time, mind you, the wife had, you know, settled down, but she kept having problems with rages and different personalities and just would lose her temper and just become very violent. And then she, of course, realized that she was destroying her husband's life, and she became very depressed, and she tried to commit suicide several times and had been hospitalized because of that. And their lives were just, you know, in a state of complete destruction. Well, they went to this little church in the new state where they were, and the very first day in church, a lady in the church came up to them afterwards and said, "I don't know you, and you're probably going to think I'm nuts, but I think the Lord is telling me there's a book you need to read, and I just happen to have it in my car." And she went and gave them a copy of He Came to Set the Captives Free. And so they read the book, and I'll never forget the day that this man called me and told me what had gone on, and he said, "Rebecca, is there any hope?" And I said, "Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. There is hope, and there is an answer to all of this." So I'll just tell you briefly exactly what went on. You see, demon spirits are inherited. We talked about that in the last session. And what happened out of the 11 children, who do you think the demons would want to destroy the most?
Christian.
That's right.
Ooh, that was her target.
The only one who was a Christian. That's right.
And I've been taught, though, that you Christians, we don't have to deal with that stuff.
No, but we do, because she had never closed the doorways of inheritance. And immediately from her father's death, the demons that were all in her father's life came flooding on into her life. And that's why she lost control, because there were so many so powerful that came in all at once, she went nuts. And, of course, the first thing the demons wanted to do was to destroy all Christianity, and that's why she beat up her husband, put him in the hospital, and then burnt down the church.
Interesting.
So they came, and I worked with her over several days. Of course, there was a lot to go through. We had to write down, because as a child growing up, she'd been through so many rituals with her father, you know, put all of his children through multiple rituals to invite demons into their life. And then we had to deal with everything that came into her life through inheritance from the father and all of that. But we did. And one day we sat down after several days of making up a list of all of the sins in her life and all the rituals she'd been put through and everything. And it took us about 3 hours to pray through everything. Well, we live out in the country, and this is several years ago where we lived at that point. I was in the habit of walking my dog 2 miles down the road every morning and then 2 miles back, and this gal walked with me. And after we had finished praying through to deliverance, we went to take my dog for our routine walk, and she kept saying, "Rebecca, look and tell me, are my feet on the ground? I feel so light. I don't think my feet are touching the ground." But the end of the story is that she and her husband, now knowledgeable about the lines of inheritance and demons and deliverance, went back to the very same tribe and ended up rebuilding the church, bringing people to the Lord. But this time, it was totally different, because as soon as they led someone to Jesus, they sat them down and went through and had them delivered and their lives totally cleansed. And the church is really growing and flourishing as a result of that now.
Wow. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church back then, he said, "My fellow brethren, I would not have you ignorant of the devil's wiles,"
yes,
what he can do. So it's not a sin to know what he can do. We need to know, and we need to know what to do when he affects our lives.
Well, you know, there's another along this line of inheritance interesting story that's very sad. There's a couple that Daniel and I are very close to. They're as close to us as flesh and blood, brothers and sisters, this particular man and wife couple. And their eldest son married a little gal who accepted Christ. Now, she was from a very bad background. Her mother had been married something like 7 or 8 times. And she also, when she wasn't, well, even when she was married, but along with that, she was a woman who was involved in just multiple sexual affairs. And I remember talking to her and her husband and saying, "Now, look, you know, you're all on fire for the Lord now, and that's wonderful, but you have got to cleanse your life, particularly of inheritance, and you've got to close the doorway of inheritance in your life, or you're going to end up in exactly the same mess that your mother is in." Well, they just shrugged it off, didn't pay any attention to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they had been married for 6 years, and they had one child, and everything was going along fine, and then the girl's mother got breast cancer. It was widely spread when they found it, and the mother died about 6 months later. Within 1 month of the mother's death, suddenly this girl went out and began to have one sexual affair after another.
Oh my.
Now, she had never prior to that been unfaithful to her husband. Her whole relationship with the Lord simply came to a halt. She left the church. She had no use for God anymore. And she, ever since then, she and her husband ended up divorced. She has never, ever been able to maintain a stable marriage. And she has just been from one sexual affair to the next, to the next, to the next. She's got I don't know how many children out of wedlock now, and her whole life has been completely destroyed. And that's another example. And sad to say, this woman has never come to deliverance. She never has. And that, you know, that's a story that does not have a happy ending, but it's so true. I mean, if you've got these kinds of things in your background, boy, you've got to deal with it. You've got to close that doorway of inheritance.
These unusual things happen, and you're saying the source of these are demons.
Absolutely. Just recently I was traveling, and a young man came up and spoke to me and said that, you know, he had been a Christian for, I don't know, 10 years, something like that. Everything was going on smooth in his life. He had a grandmother who had been involved in witchcraft. He said that he was traveling to see her when she was in the hospital dying, and she died while he was on the road. And he had this distinct feeling. It was like someone threw a dark blanket over his head while he was driving down the road, and it just lasted for, you know, a space of a second or two, and he didn't think anything about it. And then when he got to the hospital, he found out that his grandmother was already dead. But after that, then, it was like somebody turned out the light in his relationship with the Lord. And he had been all on fire for the Lord, and his greatest joy was reading the Bible and having the Lord speak to him. And suddenly, he couldn't hear from the Lord anymore. He didn't get anything out of reading the Bible. He'd fallen away from church, and his whole life was just turning upside down. Well, once again, that's because he was the only grandchild, I found out, who had accepted Christ, and all of the demon spirits from the grandmother went and landed right in his life. And I asked him to trace back as best he could, and when he had that sensation of like a dark blanket just falling over his head for a second or two, that was really the just right, almost precise time that she died in the hospital. So once again, the spirits went flying from her to him. They could do so legally because he'd never severed those lines of inheritance.
And here, he was a Christian. As I was telling you earlier, I was trained that as Christians, we don't have to deal with that, and we don't have to go through deliverance, and we don't get attacked by demons. And actually, the opposite happens. We are the target of the enemy. We become a target.
Yes, and you know, so many places in the Scripture, like Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes, "For our battle is not against flesh and blood." Clearly, we are in a battle. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, you know, our weapons are not physical. They're not carnal. We don't fight in the physical realm. Again, over and over and over again in the Scripture, we're clearly in a battle, and it's not against the physical realm.
That was so interesting. Now, as I understand it, there are two main theological frameworks that dominate Christian thinking. And the first was more dominant in the early Christian church, and that was that we as believers are in a war with spiritual forces, personality, Satan. The second formwork of belief is that everything is from God or God allowed, and that is called the blueprint plan, as I've heard it called. Now, I believe both have validity, but neither of those formworks of belief is exclusive. I mean, believers fail when they get outside of the will of God. And another example, as I have brought up earlier on this program and other programs, God says in the Bible, "My people perish because of lack of knowledge." And the Apostle Paul, I think, complements this by saying, "I would not have you ignorant," and that's lack of knowledge. I don't want you to have lack of knowledge or understanding of your enemy, the devil, the strategies of the devil. And it's not a sin to know and understand these things. They can help you. Now, another thing you were telling me about was some people that were in business, Christians. Here's Christians again, and they're in business with somebody that isn't a Christian. I guess you call that unequally yoked. Can you tell me that story? What's the...
Yes. You know, so many times people will have dreams that they just think is a dream, but it's actually an experience in the spirit realm. Now, this is not something that happens regularly or frequently. It's usually kind of rare. But, you know, most dreams are just crazy and mixed up, and that's just the way they are, and there's no meaning to our dreams. But every now and then, someone may have a dream that is absolutely clear and lucid and logical and makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And normally, that's not a dream. That's an experience in the spirit realm, and we need to be alert to that. In this young woman's life, she came to me because her hands, she was just in her early 30s, and both hands were red and hot and swollen and terribly painful, and her fingers of her hands had drawn up into a claw, curled up, and she could not use either hand. And this condition had been gradually growing worse and worse over the preceding year. She'd gone to doctor after doctor. She'd been to the Mayo Clinic. She'd gone to rheumatologist and to specialists, and nobody could figure out what was wrong with her hands because none of the other joints in her body were affected at all. Mm-hmm. This was just very, very unusual. And she had no other symptoms except what was going on with her hands. Well, I asked her the question that I so frequently ask people, did anything unusual or different happen in your life just before this problem with your hands started? And she thought for a while, and she said, well, she said, yeah, I had a really crazy dream. She said, you know, she said, my husband and I were in a business partnership with a man who was not a Christian, and she said, we realize now that that's against God's commands in the Bible, but we didn't know then. And she said, he cheated us. He embezzled from the company, and as a result, the company went bankrupt and closed down and was dissolved. And she said, we parted on really bad terms. And it wasn't very long after that, she said, one night I had this really weird dream. And she said, in my dream, I woke up, although she was actually sleeping, but she dreamt that she woke up, and she saw this man walk into her bedroom, and she sat up in bed, and she said, what are you doing here? And he never answered a word, but he reached out, and he grabbed both of her hands, and he put them together palm to palm. And then he took something that looked like a long needle, and he thrust it through both of her hands, all the way through, both hands. And then without saying a word, he turned around and left and disappeared. And then she woke up shortly after that, and her hands were fine, you know, and she thought, wow, what a weird dream. Mm-hmm. But in the weeks and the months after that, her hands began this weird swelling and heat, redness, and terrible, terrible pain. And at the end of a year, she reached the point where she couldn't use her hands at all. And so I said, well, I don't think that was a dream. I believe that that was an actual experience in the spirit realm, and you have received what I call a demonic wound. And what you thought was a dream, where this long needle thing was shoved through both of your hands, was actually real in the spirit realm. Mm. That really did happen to you in your spirit body. And it's manifesting. You have those wounds are in your physical hands today.
Interesting.
And so she prayed, and she asked the Lord to forgive her from being involved with this guy in the first place, and not sexually, but business-wise, in a business mm-hmm. partnership. And then she had never really formally forgiven him, and so she took that step of forgiving him. And then we just took oil, and we covered both hands completely, and then prayed and commanded all curses placed on her hands from this man to be broken immediately and forever in the name of Jesus. And then we commanded every demon spirit placed or afflicting her hands that were placed there through that needle to get out and to be gone at once in the name of Jesus. And then we asked Father in the name of Jesus to heal her hands. And almost immediately, the pain in her hands let up. And it took her several months. She had to go through, you know, physical therapy. But within, I would say, 6 months, her hands were completely back to normal. And within the first month, there was just a huge amount of improvement. The swelling and the redness was gone. But, you know, it took her a while of therapy to be able to work her hands to where she could use her fingers freely again. But that's just one example. And people from Africa tell me that it's a very common experience over there for the local witch doctor of the tribe to come to them in their sleep and to force them to eat and swallow various things in their dreams, which is actually an experience in the spirit realm.
Okay.
Which makes them sick. Now, interestingly, Daniel and I have a daughter over in Australia, and she is a surgeon. She worked in northern Australia where there's the Aboriginal tribes. And she told me that it was just incredible that one of the very common problems that would be admitted to the hospital was young people in their mid to late 30s, sometimes in their early 40s, and they would come in with abdominal pain, and when they took them to surgery and opened them up, their entire abdomen would be filled with cancerous tumors.
Oh, my.
And because of her training with me, she would, after they got out of surgery, would end up asking them, you know, did something unusual happen in your life, you know, before all this started in your abdomen? And she said every single time they'd say, oh, yes, so-and-so, who was one of the local witch doctors, pointed the bone at me.
Pointed the bone. Uh-huh.
Pointed the bone, which was putting a death curse on them. And every one of them died. She said they were never able to save any of them. And she probably had a dozen or more of this sort of patients within the space of a year. Interesting, huh?
Yes. Now, there's another interesting point you brought up, and, well, there's many, but this one I want to bring up. It's about hating, people that hate you and how that can afflict you. Here you're being affected by the hate of somebody else. Now, this is a little different than just demonic spirits.
Well, but it is demon spirits. It's interesting. You know, it tells us in the Epistle of John, he who hates his brother is a murderer. Well, that's interesting because the very act of hatred is equated with murder, but you haven't physically murdered someone unless you shoot them with a gun or stab them with a knife or something like that. But the scripture says if you hate someone, then it's the same as murdering them. Well, why is that? Well, it's because demon spirits follow the emotions of hatred, anger, bitterness, and jealousy. And I cannot tell you how many people, and in my own lives too, when there's someone who is just furious with you or has a deep hatred for you or who is very jealous of you or bitter of you toward you, demon spirits follow their emotions and they attack you just the same as if a witch had sent a curse onto you. And usually that's manifested as physical illness. I know in my own life, when I get so that I just ache from head to foot like I've got a terrible case of the flu, but I don't have any fever or anything, I'm immediately alerted to the fact that someone is really, really angry with me. And you have to treat it the same as a curse. You have to command all curses from anger and hatred and bitterness and jealousy to be broken immediately and forever in the name of Jesus. And you have to command those demon spirits to get off of you and to be gone immediately and forever in the name of Jesus. And then you've got to cleanse and seal your home, which we'll be dealing with in another session as to how to do that. But I know I was teaching this one place at a church in New York, and the next day, a sister came and asked if she could testify, and she said that her daughter had been in college, and she had become so ill that she'd had to drop out of school and come home because she just ached so severely from head to toe, and she'd been to the doctors, and they couldn't find out what was wrong with her, and she'd become very, very weak and exhausted, and had ended up literally in bed, and no one knew why. And when I had taught this, she went home and asked her daughter if she knew of anyone at the college that hated her. And the girl admitted that she had gotten into a fuss with a couple of girls there who hated her intensely. And they had really had quite a knockdown, drag-out fight. And, you know, they'd been back and forth on the Internet and this sort of thing. And when they prayed, and this girl repented and asked God to forgive her for fighting with these other two, and then they broke all the curses of hatred and anger and commanded the demons off of her, she was well by the next morning.
My friend, you one out there that's listening, if this seems relevant to you, if this rings a bell with you, if you feel this is something that's happened in your life, I'd like Dr. Brown to pray for you now, and in the name of Jesus, see you set free while you're listening to this program. Doctor, would you pray?
Father, in the name of Jesus, first of all, I'm asking for everyone listening to this program that you'll open their eyes and help them to see if they're under attack by demon spirits or if they need deliverance. And I am asking that you will lead them to get deliverance, to pray and to confess the sins in their lives and to command the demons to leave in the name of Jesus. And I pray for everyone listening to this program right now who is afflicted by hatred or anger or bitterness or jealousy. And I just command every curse on their lives from those things to be broken right now and forever in Jesus' name. And I command every spirit from hatred and anger and bitterness and jealousy that's afflicting them to be gone right now, out of their lives. Flee and be gone and do not touch them again in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone that has unforgiveness in their lives, that you will quickly bring them to an understanding that they must forgive, that there's an open doorway in their life for them to come under attack by others and from demon spirits until they forgive, and that they must pray. Just pray right now and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive, and name the person who has hurt you. I forgive them fully and just commit them into your hands in Jesus' name. You do this, brothers and sisters, you'll be amazed at what a difference it'll make.
There's power in that name, and there's power in forgiveness.
Yes.
Oh, I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time with Dr. Brown. You've been such a blessing. God bless you.
Okay.
That was excellent, and we're learning so much. I know that your help today will reach individuals that have been questioning these things.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, well, he's a chain breaker.
So, until we meet again, God bless you.